If you have your Bibles, make your way to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, as Matt alluded to, we began a Christmas series in Luke, and specifically Mary's Song of Praise, which can be found starting in verse 46. So I'm going to read the whole thing again this morning, but our focus this morning will be from 50 to 55. So if you can make your way to Luke chapter 1 or look up on the screen, and you see Mary's song of praise that she wrote after spending time with Elizabeth and getting that encouragement and that direction to Mary, to the promises of God as she walks through this for her Savior. Mary writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." I think maybe 9 or 10 years old. I wasn't used to being alone at 9 or 10 years alone. 10 years old. I grew up in a family of 7. I had 3 brothers and 3 sisters. The only time we were ever alone was typically when we were in the restroom, and that wasn't always true. One day, though, like I said, I was 9 or 10. I'm not sure how it happened, but I happened to be in our house, and nobody was home. I was all alone. At first, this was great. The first thing I did was I ate a huge bowl of sugar cereal. Because if you grow up in a big family, that will not last long. After about an hour, nobody came home. I started to hear noises in our house, creaking things I had never heard in our home ever. I started to become afraid. I thought someone was going to kill me. So naturally, I ran out of the house and I sat on the curb until my family came home. Because, of course, the curb is a safe place from bad guys. They won't dare come inside. I had great logic as a 9-year-old, but I was afraid. And I wasn't thinking rationally. Our fears can control us, can they not? Whether you're 10 or 20 or 40. As we look at the second half of this song of praise, I want to draw our attention to what Mary says, and it's the question that I have for us this morning. Is there a fear that is biblical? Well, that question is answered in Mary's song of praise. Look at verse 50 again with me. It says, "His mercy..." And by the way, I'll spend a great deal of time on that section, just his mercy in our Christmas sermon on Friday night. But I want to look at this next part of this verse. It says, his mercy, Mary writes, his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation. Solomon writes, the wisest man on earth, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes, again, part of that wisdom literature. He would write, at the end of the matter, and this is through his whole book in Ecclesiastes, this big sermon he wrote, in the end of the matter, all that has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. David would write in Psalm 33, let all the earth fear the Lord. So I'm guessing then that fear can be biblical and very important. Because if you want God's mercy, that's what Mary writes, you need to fear God. Well, this makes for a great Christmas message, doesn't it? Listen, this makes for a very important Christmas message. This message should cause all of us, this fear of the Lord should call all of us to praise God. The correct biblical understanding of this fear, will cause us to sing praises. A cavalier thinking about God and who he is leads to a cavalier walk with God. It leads to a worship of God that is dry, lifeless, boring, and you have nothing to sing about. So let's look at the song of praise again. Mary singing praises to her God, her Lord, her Savior. Last week, Mary's song showed us that her Savior would be born, and she rejoiced. That God would show her grace, and she rejoiced. And that God would do the impossible, and she rejoiced. And this morning, that praise continues. Why did Mary sing praises? Well, the first thing I just alluded to. Because she feared him. She feared God. Fearing God means having such reverence for God that it has the greatest impact in the way that we will live our lives. The fear of God is respecting him, obeying him, submitting to him, and worshiping him. If you give fear to something other than God, that thing or person controls you. Martin Luther, famous theologian in the early 1500s, he wrestled with this understanding of fear of God. What does that mean? Well, he came to a couple distinctions about fear. The first kind of fear I want to talk about is the impending doom. That's how he described it. Martin Luther wrote, he said, for example, if you are in prison, in a torture chamber, you have anxiety about the impending torture you're about to receive. There's this dreadful anticipation of a clear and present danger. It's real. There is an impending doom coming. This impending doom is fear. It can be real, but it can also be irrational. As a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, I thought I was going to die in my house because I was alone. That's an irrational fear. I thought there was impending doom from all the creaking noises. Someone was going to get me. Phobias can be irrational fears. Maybe you fear you're going to die from a shark attack. Anybody here? Where is he? Security? Because he knew I was going to talk about sharks. My brother Dan is afraid of sharks. Listen, I'm afraid to get bitten too. But it does not stop me from going in that beautiful ocean. Even if the odds of you being bit by a shark are better by being hit by lightning or even dying by playing with fireworks, someone will avoid the ocean because of fear of a shark. That's a phobia. An impending doom is coming. I knew someone who had a fear of odd numbers. Odd numbers, you know, 1, 3, 5, 7. They had a fear of odd numbers, so they could never have their temperature set in their house at an odd number. Or they would lose their mind. That is an irrational fear. The Bible says many times in Scripture, do not have this kind of fear. Some 200 plus times. For example, in Isaiah chapter 41, very popular verse, but Isaiah writes, fear not. Do you see the potential confliction? God says, fear him, but then he says, fear not. Well, the fear here is the irrational fear. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So that fear is not something we should have, that we should give to our Lord. The other distinction of fear is that of a young child and his godly dad. This fear is what we are described here, which is the reverence. As a young child that has the utmost respect for their dad, they look up to him. They don't want to disappoint him. Of course, the prerequisite is, are you a godly dad? If so, your children will fear you. That is a good, reverent fear. They don't want to disappoint you. They aren't afraid of you. They want to please you. When they do something wrong, they know that dad will enact a punishment, but it's out of love. The fear of this kind of fear is the same fear that God speaks of in his word, is the fear that we need for our God. The fear of the Lord is to have reverence to the one who is really in control. Not an impending doom, but a loving Father who we wish to please. So let's look at Scripture and see this distinction. So the first fear that God doesn't want us to have is this impending doom. Those are the fears we cast to God. We cast out those fears. For example, 1 John chapter 4 says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love, meaning the love of God, casts out this kind of fear, this impending doom. For fear has to do with punishment. If you're a follower of Christ, there is no condemnation. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. In other words, have put their faith and trust in what Christ has done for them. God loves you. He is a good Father. You have no need to fear him. Paul would say this to the followers of Christ in Romans chapter 8. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. This impending doom. Someone's going to get me. But you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. God's desire is for us to trust him and to give our fears to him. God is saying that he is the one that's in control. If we do that, if we recognize our reverence to God, the byproduct of a fear of the Lord is joy and peace because of the one who's in control. Mary is singing praises because she knew this. She knew this kind of fear, this reverent awe. Listen, our fears will dictate our lives. What God is saying is, fear the right thing. Him. The one who can do all things. Nothing happens. Happens by chance. All the things you are going through are not by accident. If you have the fear of the Lord, all other fears lose its power. This is why Mary can sing praises to God. Because she feared the Lord. Mary sang a song about the correct kind of fear. A godly fear that leads to her singing and submitting. Ours can too. Put God, put Jesus in his rightful place in your life. Be in awe of him every day. Of his control, of his plans for you. He is God. And we are not. Mary's song of praise was because she feared God. Why else did Mary sing praises? Not only because she feared him, but because she literally knew him. She knew him. Look at verses 51 through 55 with me. Look at the highlighted verses here, or the highlighted section. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those who humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich. He has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And go back to verses 48 and 49. Again, he has looked on the humble estate. He who is mighty has done great things. This reference that Mary makes is to God. She knew God. He has is in the imperfect or aorist tense. What does that mean? Well, this means this. The things that God has done in the past continue to happen today. They are reoccurring and without boundaries. So think of this. Mary writes, he has looked. He is mighty. He has shown. He has brought. He has filled. He has sent away. He has helped. He has spoken. And so what this means is this, that God's actions in the past are continuing today. And they will in the future. Mary believes this because Mary knows her God. It's the God of the Bible. She knows his character. Look at verses 54 and 55 again. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. God will always help his people. God has helped Israel throughout her history. But never, never until right now, Mary's saying, when he is sending his son. He did not do this because Israel earned it or deserved it. He did it, look, in remembrance of his mercy. His mercy is for those who fear him. His mercy is for those whom he has promised. Israel, or Christian here this morning, you may fail. Let me just rephrase that. You will fail, but God will never fail. Israel, Christian, you will be unfaithful, but God will be forever faithful. God cares for Mary and blesses her. He made a pledge to care for the godly remnant of Israel, the godly remnant to this world. God will always keep his promise. Mary knows this is true. The emphasis in verse 54. That's the emphasis in verse 54. Look at verse 55. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. The emphasis then now kind of shifts to how long is God going to be faithful? How long is his promises? And what Mary sings about, what is true about God is it is forever. God spoke to the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and he gave them his word. And his word is that their descendants, their seed, is forever. When God says he's going to do something, he will do it. When he promises something, we can count on it. He was silent for over 400 years, from Malachi to the beginning when John the Baptist entered this world. And when God came in the flesh, he is declaring he has not forgotten his people. You and I, Christian, can rejoice because God was faithful. He kept his promise, and the Savior would be born, and Mary singing praises because she knew her God. Christmas should always stand as a reminder of God's faithfulness. Your life may be in turmoil. You may feel like God has forgotten you. May this song remind you, he is forever by your side. Hebrews writes, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mary can sing praises because she knows her God. It is important for us to know our God, is it not? It's important to know Jesus and his character. By the way, Jesus even said this in Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Listen to what Jesus said. He said to them, is this not the reason you're wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Do you see how it's important to know God? To know who he is, his character? Ezra would say this, the prophet would say this. He'd say, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Ezra set his heart to study about who his God is. We must set our hearts to know him so that we can tell others about him. Mary praises God in this song because she knows him. I mentioned last week, this song itself has no less than 20 Old Testament references, Psalms and 1 Samuel. Mary knows her God because Mary knows God's word. Don't make up words to a song about God. Let God's word tell you how to sing songs of praise to God. We have a world that is teaching any number of false things about God. Let his word guide us to sing praises of really who he is. So as we conclude, just a couple things. Can you sing this song today? Does your life, does my life, as I consider this, does my life reflect my fear of God? My reverence, my awe, that my life reflects the truth of who God is and what he's done for me. Do I fear the Lord? That fear begins when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For before that day, you had an impending doom coming. That impending doom is a true reality for some in this room who have yet to place their trust in what Jesus has done. Oh, that impending doom is very real, and that doom is the wrath of God and forever being separated from a holy God. That fear is very real. And what God is telling us is, put your faith and trust in what my son has done, and you will begin to have a healthy, biblical, godly fear that will make your life that which has joy and peace despite your circumstances. Like Mary's. Do you fear God? If you do, sing praises to him. And then finally, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you study God's word? There are opportunities galore in our church, your church at High Point Church. If this is your home, we have times and opportunities for you to dive into God's word so that you can know him. Not to bore you, but that you can go through this day by day, trusting the God who saved you. We must get to know this God from his word so that we might sing praises to a world that doesn't know him. Can you sing this song today? My prayer is that God's church is singing this song. Not just around Christmas time. Let's ask God as we walk through these next few weeks, as we approach the remembrance of Christ coming to this earth, the incarnate God. But take that time and knowledge and let it springboard into 2024. So that we might live for him and not for ourselves. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, as we have opportunity once again to walk through this song of praise, It might bring, Lord, for many, and myself included, great conviction. For my life may not reflect and does not reflect oftentimes a fear of God nor a knowledge of Him and how faithful You are. Lord, help me to be quick to repent. Help me to be quick to trust. Holy Spirit, cause me to surrender to the very truths of Your word. And God, I want You to get all the glory for whatever time You would have left for us on this earth. God, may this Christmas time be a true reflection of what song we really are singing. And God, may You get all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, let's stand, sing one final song.